Welcome to the Watermark Church Podcast.
We believe in growing up. That's why we do things like life groups. That's why we do things like women's Bible studies, because we just want to, we feel like we need to grow up. And so every time we do a new series, we're going to do a scripture verse, memorization. And so Colossians 2, 6 through 7 says this. I want you to read this with me. It says, "Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk in him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude." Isn't that awesome? Overflowing with gratitude. But it says, be firmly rooted and being built up. And listen, in this series of Grow Up, this is kind of what it's about, that I believe we come from the ladder series that's helping people step up and holding other people's ladders. But we need to ourselves be growing up. Anybody ever heard that phrase? I was making fun of McQuaid this morning before pre-service prayer because I said, anybody ever heard that phrase before? It says, you got to grow up. Just grow up, right? And I'm like, McQuaid, have you heard that before? He goes, all the time my family tells me just to grow up, right? But it's funny because I've been, even me, saying grow up. I remember, and I have a quirky personality. I'm just this way. And I remember my first official position at a church. And when I got hired, and I came from Emmanuel Christian Center, and I got hired at a church in Brainerd, and this is not saying anything bad, but I'm just saying, when I got hired on this church, that church was a little traditional, and the pastors would sit on the stage during worship. Isn't that crazy? And not only would they sit on the stage, they would wear suits every morning. Listen, and I know some of you like suits. I'm not a suit guy. I'm just not me. Nothing wrong against them. I'm just not a suit guy. But I would sit up here, and something happened to me wearing a suit. I felt like I'm official. It's like my, like I'm a pastor, I'm a youth pastor. I'm like, I gotta act a certain way. So here I get hired on as this youth pastor, and I'm wearing a suit, and it says Pastor Jarvis on it. And I'm going, oh man, this is like legit. I gotta act different. People are gonna look at me different. And I remember my first month there was almost awkward, because I'm like, I'm trying to be my fun self on Wednesday nights with the youth, and then it comes to Sunday morning services, and I'm like, I'm trying to be Pastor Jarvis. And then someone came up to me, one of my mentors, and says, how are you doing? I just said, I don't know, I feel weird. And he says, this is what he said. He goes, you know they hired you for you, not what you should be. And I said, huh. So I ripped off my suit. I'm just kidding. Here's what I realized. I just realized I am. This is who I am. And I realized I just got to be who God's created me to be. But that was the part of just growing up. Because I think it's interesting, because we all want to grow up and at some point. But here's a funny thing about it. Kids, can you imagine doing things the way your kids would do them? Can you imagine Jim Boo and I going in a car and the family's in there, and all of a sudden I said, guys, shotgun. Can you imagine sitting at somebody's house, and I'm sitting with Dom at his house, and I get up to use the bathroom, and I said, I get my space back. Can you imagine as adults, maybe some of you adults still do that. That's cool. I'm not making fun of you, but it's kind of weird. You know what I'm saying? But can you imagine certain times acting like a kid? And I won't forget, you know what I'm saying, Kyle and Sam's son, when he came up to me on a Sunday morning, had these brand new shoes on. He came up to me and goes, hey, Pastor Jarvis. And I said, yeah. He goes, I have new shoes. And I said, that's cool. Look how fast I am. And he started running circles around me. Can you imagine Josh Hoffman saying, I got new shoes. Look how fast I am. And just running around. Imagine how this would look. And here's what I think. Here's what I would start realizing. When it comes to this whole grow up thing, all of us, don't you sometimes, at a certain age, all you want to do when you're little is grow up faster. Like when you're 5, people who are 20 are grown-ups. And when you're 50 or 30, 40, 20-year-olds are immature brats, right? It's interesting because you still, as you go through this, and so as you're 4 or 5 years old, you just want to grow up. You're saying, well, you know what I'm saying, when I become a third grader or a fourth grader, and then you become a teenager and you say, when I can drive and leave the house and do whatever I want to do, even though driving is a trap because now you got to drive all your little siblings around, right? And so and all this kind of stuff happens. You're just wishing away and hoping that when you're growing up, hoping that time would go faster. And then you get to a certain age, you're just saying, when I graduate college, when I get a job, when I get married, and all of a sudden you have kids, and you're going, oh man, I have kids. You're trying to slow down life. Now your life is speeding up and you don't want to go faster. You're like, I don't want to grow up. I don't want to go faster. When you're little, you feel like life is like a dump truck. It just putzing around. You're just going slow. And it gets into like a pickup. And then as you get older, you're like driving, you know what I'm saying, a nicer car. And then it gets older. And some of you people are so old, it's like NASCAR, right? Just kidding. That's an old person joke. But it's interesting because life begins to move faster and you're always trying to pull back. And interesting is you start asking people, what do you want to do when you grow up? I asked that question this week, and there's 106 people who gave me the same. I didn't know my mom wanted to be a stewardess at some point. You know, Seagren said she wanted to dance for the Rock. I didn't know these things because it's interesting because when you're young, people said nurses and teachers and all those things. You just don't know. And it's cool because life changes. Life has a way to spin things, and it may be not the way you thought, but it doesn't mean it's any worse. And it's interesting because just because you do grow up number-wise doesn't mean you're mature. Is this an amen? And next week I'm going to talk about maturity, but if you don't believe me, then go to a little kid's baseball game or softball game, a t-ball game or a little kid's football game and watch some of these parents. They have worse tantrums than the kids do. And you know what I'm saying? There's this area of just not growing up yet. And so it's interesting. And so have you ever asked a child what they wanted to be when they grew up? Like, what do you want to be? So as a child, we just want to grow up. And it's interesting because now we wish we can be a child again. Don't you ever just wish? Dustin does our sound. Justin and I were just talking last week. How cool would it be just to like go back and just the only worry you have is how you're going to build your Legos in the morning. Think about that. And I get to still play Legos because my kid had Legos. So it's cool. I was holding my daughter. And I wasn't going to say this, but I was holding my daughter yesterday in the living room. We weren't doing it. She was still in her pajamas. Charlie and I were, and I was just cuddling with her. And my kids love to listen to music. So we're listening to, of course, Neil Diamond in the living room yesterday. And we were listening to it. And she just kept on holding me and kissing me on the cheek. And she kept on saying, I love you, Daddy. And I looked at her and I said, you're little now. When you become a teenager and you grow up to be a young lady and a woman and a mom, never forget this moment. Never. And when you're going through a hard time, I'm like praying that she never forgets the way she feels at that moment and the way I feel. Because I think, listen, there's parts of it that you just want to embrace, and there's parts of it that you just want to suck onto. Jesus with children. Here's the thing. Joel, today's sermon's about childlike faith. Jesus loved children. He just had this interesting way with children. Luke 9, we find that the disciples are arguing. This is my favorite, because the disciples, here's Jesus training these disciples. And here, they just got done doing a series of things, and here is their argument. Their question to each other is, who's the greatest? Everybody's like, I am. This person's the greatest. I'm the best. You know what I'm saying? They're just like trying to figure out, they're asking Jesus, who is the best? You know what I'm saying? Who is, like my son always asked me, who is the fastest and who is the best? These guys are saying the same. Who's the best, Jesus? What's the criteria? Am I better than this guy? Am I the best? And so Jesus, of course, is hearing these questions, and Christ responds with what it seems on the face to be a rather perplexing solution. And then he sees a child. He takes a child by his side and says, whoever receives this child in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me. For he who is at least among you is the one who is great. Repeat that. For he who is at least among you is great. So here do the disciples think that Jesus needed to spin, and with their irritation, well, let me check this out. There are some people, when kids come in a room, you're instantly irritated. Oh, they're going to break something. You know what I'm saying? This is all these kids. Oh, you know what I'm saying? Like, you're never going to volunteer in nursery because I just don't know. Can I just tell you what? Can I tell you a secret? Jesus loves kids so much, he went out of his way to hang out with kids. Some of the major truths that he said were about kids. He actually did miracles for the kids. And when the disciples were trying to pull the kids away from Jesus, because here's their thinking pattern. Check this out. There's kids running up to Jesus because, of course, he's relaxing to be around. And the disciples were like, he has more important people to be around. There's more important that, nope, we're more important than these kids. And then all of a sudden they're trying to pull him away. And Jesus pretty much irritated says, let the little children come unto me. Pretty much saying, I'd rather spend time with them than you. Not because I don't like you, it's because you don't have the attitude they have. He says, you don't have the childlike faith. And so Jesus then later on says this in Luke 18:15-17 says, people were bringing babies to Jesus so he could bless them. And when the disciples saw this, they scolded them. They were scolding the people. Then Jesus called them to him and said, allow the children to come to me. Don't forbid them, because God's kingdom belongs to people like these children. I assure you that whoever doesn't welcome God's kingdom like a child will never enter it. Whoever doesn't come like a child will never enter the kingdom. Here are these disciples who are literally saying, I'm better than this guy. I can, you know what I'm saying? Who's the best? And Jesus says, none of you. He says, let the little children come unto me. Be like these little ones. So here's it is. Can I just tell you this? If you're taking notes, write this down. There is a big difference between childlike and childish. Let me repeat that. There's a big difference between being childlike and childish. As Christians, we need to be childlike. And if you're childish, you need to get out of that. And here's, so many times we think of this. Now, this is where I'm going to be honest with you. Sometimes people's hobbies, maybe some people might still play video games or do something, and you're older people are like, that's really childish. Listen, I'm not talking about hobbies or any of that. What I'm talking about is the heart, nature, and the attitude, and the serving, and all that. Is that making sense? What I'm talking about is just who we are as people. So there's a big difference between childlike and childish. For instance, childish is when a person of any age acts younger than they are. Repeat that. Childish is when a person of any age acts younger than they are. You hear the phrase, act your age. Childish is when people act under their age, when act younger than they are. 1 Corinthians 13:11 says, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, grown up, a man, I put away my childish things. He's talking about behaviors and mindset. Just because you're an adult doesn't mean you're not a child anymore. I'm going to repeat this. Just because you're an adult and you are over 21 doesn't mean you don't act like a child. It's interesting. Age doesn't equal maturity. I'm talking about this next week. And so it's interesting. Childish mindset is a refusal to grow up. It's when people who should know better throw temper tantrums and pout when they don't get their way. That's childish. Childish is when people who are irresponsible and behave as if the world revolves around them. Selfish people, that becomes childish. And childish is when people make pretty big demands and selfish complaints. Childish is like childlike behavior gone sour. It's like the sourness. But here's childlikeness. Webster's dictionary says, becoming a child, here it is, meek, submissive, and dutiful. Matthew 18:3 says, Jesus says, as surely I say to you, unless you change and become like a little children, by no means you will enter the kingdom of heaven. He says, until you submit, until you come this way. Childlike resonates with the embraces of neediness, dependence, smallness, and we understand that we're part of the bigger kingdom. Childish simply refuses to grow up, where childlike expresses it. Childlike faith is simple, it's pure, it simply believes. Some of the qualities of childlike faith and what a child have is this. A child can be innocent, trusting, believes, humble, have faith, are amazed, curious, carefree. They have no filter, which is not always good. They are content with the little things. They are creative. They imagine, but they are utterly dependent, and so they're quick to forgive. And so I'm just going to do this. I'm going to touch on five things, and I know people say 3 points usually for a pastor. 5 points. Here we go, all fast. And I'm going to do 5 points that we can learn from children. Now, there's a lot more than this, but I think these are really important. If we're going to have childlike faith, what are some of the 5 things we need to have? Number one is this. Children have great imagination. And I don't know where this happens, but at some point, you go from thinking you're an adult that you no longer should color or be imaginative or no longer think of things. One of my favorite things to do is just dream and allow the Holy Spirit just to work through dreams and try to be creative and just dream. I love this story. Ruth Bell Graham, which is Billy Graham's wife, tells the story about her son Franklin. This is what he says. Franklin was sleeping on the front porch when he was a kid with cowboy boots on and a toy gun. We were having problems with polecats or skunks, and Franklin told me not to worry about it because he had a gun. Franklin, it's just a toy gun, I said. That's okay, Mama. The polecats don't know that. It's interesting because in a child, we tend to think that we grow up. We can't imagine anymore. Pablo Picasso says, all children are artists. The problem is how to remain as artists once we grow up. It's interesting because my kids are so creative. Can you put that first picture up there? We were blessed to go to a cabin this summer. Every time we go to this cabin, my kids' favorite thing to do is go jet skiing. And I said, we're not going to go jet skiing right now. So what they begin to do is they go, okay, we're going to pretend to jet ski. And so this is Charlie driving the jet ski, and this is Sawyer and pretending to hold on. Isn't that funny? And this is just that imagination. Don't go to the next picture. Don't stay here for a second. Then my daughter, this has happened. This is Charlie. So can I just say, everybody, put up your hand and say, I promise not to share this. Okay. I don't like to embarrass my kids, but this is really funny. So my daughter came home from school one day, and she says, Dad, I drew you a picture. And I went, oh, that's nice. And she says, it's you, Dad. And I said, oh. And I didn't see the front of it. And what I saw was the scariest thing I've ever seen in my entire life. You can go ahead and put this picture. It's going to send nightmare. You guys see the resemblance? It's on my phone. I just go, ah! Like, I have dreams about this every night. I kept it. It's in my phone just because I thought it was just so cute. But kids, imagine. I want us to think about this. I want us to imagine. Why do we stop imagining with our faith? Here's my thing. I talked about this last year. What about the what ifs? I'm so tired of church people that say, well, I'm not going to go on the mission trip. What if something were to happen to my family? What if something bad were to happen and I'm not there? I don't know. What if you change, came back different, and something spiritual happens with your family? Well, what if I can't afford it? What if you can afford it and people help you out and miracles begin to happen, huh? Like, I think as people, nature, we live in what-if, worst-case scenarios, and as Christians, we need to step up to the plate, step on the ladder saying, hey, if God's calling me to go there, where God guides, he provides, amen? And listen, stop putting a limit on God's imagination for your life. I think we stop stepping out because we think, oh, there's no way. There's no way. Listen, childlike faith, this is why it's so fun to be with kids. They're always saying, why not? Why can't it not happen? I don't know. You're a good question. You know what I'm saying? We can do it. Okay, sounds good. We can do it. Because, listen, we get so knowledgeable. Listen, it's okay to be cautious. Don't get me wrong. Growing up, I'm still amazed by this. We lived in the Black Hills. And you, listen, most of the people who are my age and older can attest to this. My parents would say to me in the morning, hey, just be home by supper. I said, okay. I'd be walking in the hills by myself, killing rattlesnakes, like just, you know what I'm saying, wandering. No big deal. And now as a parent, I'm like, I don't even want my kids out of the backyard without me. Think about that for a second. It's weird. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm the same way. But here's the thing. I think it becomes into our own spiritual life that we become so cautious that we never want to step out. So my question is this. What if it does happen? You've always thinking, well, I want to invite my friend to Fall Fest, but I think they're going to say no. What if they say yes? Not what if they say no. What if they do come? What if the, like, maybe right now you think about the worst person in your office, and they're like, oh, I can't stand, I would never invite them. They're the worst person. They're gossip all the time, and they're just rude, and they're jerks. Listen, imagine this. Close your eyes and imagine that if you invite them to church, they find the Lord, God takes a hold of their heart, they begin to worship with you, and all those heaviness and scales and stuff begin to fall off. Can you imagine them being different? What would that look like? Imagine it. Next one is this. Kids have childlike imagination. Number two, children ask tons of questions. Is this true or what? Here's what I hope. There is like, I feel like it's a faucet of questions all day. And here's what I feel like. I just want to keep on answering their questions because I feel like if I answer all their questions, they're going to stop asking questions. Guess what? Never happens. Like, as soon as they get done asking questions, it's like, now more questions. And then you have some kids in your family who are, as soon as you're having a conversation that's kind of like a mom and dad conversation, and you know what I'm saying, about something or something else are important, they're like, what's going on? You know what I'm saying? They're like, oh, mercy. Like, just plug your ears for 5 minutes. And it's always these questions. But here's what I think. I think it's hard as parents because there's 1,000 questions. But questions also teach us that people want to learn. Children ask tough questions, and they ask honest questions. How are babies made? That's an honest question, right? Dirt. Go play in the dirt. That's not true. I'm just saying. But they have honest questions like this. And so you're taught to say, how do you respond? Here's what I believe. Kids are always learning. And at some point, I believe in our Christian lives and our faith journey, we feel like we've figured it out. Can I tell you, even as a pastor, I still haven't figured this thing out. I know who my creator is. I know who he is. I know I believe in the word. I believe in him. I know what I'm saying. I believe in the works of the Holy Spirit. I believe in these things. But I'm learning things every single day, and I'm constantly asking questions because I don't have all the answers. Because I know I'm a work in progress, because I'm working through these things. I believe just as children need to be developed, we always need to be developed in our spiritual faith. Amen? I love it because our brains are developing. It says that the kids between the ages of 0 and 3 or 4, their brains are developing at a crazy fast speed. It says a child's brain undergoes an amazing period of development from birth to 3, producing more than 1 million neural connections each second. Each second, boom, 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 millions are being transmitted because of what's going on. That is so important because, listen to this, I want you to hit this. The development of a brain is influenced by many factors, including a child's relationships, experiences, and environment. Listen, I just read a psychology study yesterday that says even a kid who was just between 0 and 3 and 5, if they're in a house that's stressful or stuff going on, they will feel that in their own hearts and minds. Toxic stress weakens the architecture of a developing brain, which can lead to lifelong problems in learning, behavior, physical, and mental health. And it says, can now identify patterns of brain activity and appear to be associated with types of negative experiences, but long-term effects of early stress, poverty, neglect, malnutrition, were even well-documented and virtually uncontested years before could see them brain scans of today. And this is taken from the Harvard Brain Institute. You can actually see development. But can I tell you this as a Christian, as a pastor? Your kids might have been raised in a hard environment, but guess what? We believe in a God of restoration. Terry and Kurt took on some kids. You can see even their development changing, taking them into a new development. it's so important for us, so that learning and that growing. Next, this was interesting. This is why I believe kids' ministry is so important. If you can volunteer in kids or get involved or help take down whatever it is, it says between 80 to 85% of those who believe in Christ came to know the Lord between the ages of 4 and 14. Think about that. Number three is this. Children live in awe and wonder. Yesterday, my kids were chasing butterflies around the yard. The same plant had tons of bees on them, so that wasn't a very smart idea. They collect rocks. They get frogs. Children are seemingly amazed by something new every 5 minutes. They're amazed. It's amazing to me. It's amazing to watch your expressions. It doesn't matter where they are. They can become so entranced in the simplest things of objects. As adults, we lose this awe and wonder. The word awe is actually used in the word awesome. Don't you just love these pictures of these kids? Like, you can see, you want to know about this? Just watch kids at a parade. Big fire truck comes, and they're like, oh, big loud, and just like these wide eyes. And we're like, oh, fire truck, that's awesome. There's another noise. You know, and like, they're like, candy's being thrown out, and you're sprinting on the street. And we're like, I'm not going to get out of my chair. It's not worth it. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's amazing because my kids and I went to a petting zoo for free in our town the other day, and they were like, look at this turtle! And I'm like, it's a turtle, guys. It's, like, awesome. And they're just so amazed, and I'm like, that's awesome. There's free ice cream! And I'm like, okay! You know what I'm saying? But it's so amazing because they are so excited. The word awe and wonder is actually used in worship, we're going to talk about, which means awe means even awesome. Like, if you ever been somebody, you go, that was awesome. Like that whole awe and wonder thing, to be amazed. It's interesting because as grown-ups, here's what happens. Here's where the honesty comes in this morning. As grown-ups, we look at the facts so much that we miss the truth. As adults, we are taught not to be childlike, but to give up our dreams and to be logical. As adults, we are taught to give up our childlike faith to favor of cold, hard facts. And here it becomes, we start believing in stuff like cynicism. We start being skeptics of everything, and start being cynical of everything. Somebody comes to our house, knocks on the door, and gives us cookies. And we're like, oh, that's so sweet. Our neighbor gives us cookies. And the door shuts. You're like, I wonder what they want. We become so cynical. There has to be something underground that they want from us. No one just does anything for nice anymore. If you want to know about this with kids, take a kid to see a magic show. All of a sudden, the magician's up there pulling a rabbit out of a hat. And as parents, here's what we do. Bet you I can figure that out. Right? I bet you I can tell you how to pull a rabbit out of the hat. I bet you, and a person gets cut in half, and you're like, I know how that works. And we want to tell the kids right away. And the kids are sitting in the front row going, did you see the rabbit come out of that hat? And we're like, dude, that's dumb. Because we become cynical, because we become skeptical. Now, listen, I'm not saying we got to teach our kids that all fantasies are true and all this kind of stuff, but it begins to deflate our faith in things. Now, check this out. Here's what begins to happen. It's like going to Disney World. I'm telling you, if I were to go to Disney World with a couple of adults in here, and we're going to go to Disney World, it probably wouldn't be that fun. Right? If we said, all right, adult trip, Disney World, no kids, we're going to be like, here's what's going to happen. We're going to walk in the door going, ooh, that was an expensive ticket. And then we're going to go, let's go get some lunch. We're like, ooh, we should have packed our own lunch. And then we're like, oh, there's Olaf. We should get a picture with Olaf. It's not really Olaf, you know what I'm saying? It's just a costume. You know what I'm saying? We've become so skeptical. But listen, that's why you take kids to Disney World, because they believe everything. Right? Because it's magical. Because you look at their faces for the first time. There's nothing better than looking at a face for the first time and going, "Boo!" Like, that's amazing. There's something about it. Last year, we had Olaf. You can put a picture up. Last year, Olaf came to church on a Sunday morning. It was amazing. This is awesome. And we had this last winter come, and Olaf was here on a Sunday morning. And if you're a kid in here, plug your ears right now. I'm about ready to share some secret. But somebody, here's the deal. My daughter loved it. Kids loved it. And it was awesome. And I won't forget, we thought every kid left. We thought every kid was out of the building. And then the person, I was helping the person take Olaf, the head off. You know what I'm saying, Olaf? And a little girl walked by. And it was like, oh! It was like broke heart. I felt so bad. I'm like, this is so sad. Because you just see that breakness come off. Well, listen, we become cynical and skeptical. We start being less awe-inspired and more adult in our thinking. Everything needs to be proven. I'm going to tell you the scary part about this. When it comes to the supernatural and the Bible and the works of the Lord and the Holy Spirit, we become cynical. We believe in Scripture, and we believe what it says. I'm going to tell you that right now. As a pastor, I'm going to tell you the stories. I believe the stories in Scripture are not fantasies. They're not something that just somebody conjured up. I believe Noah actually built an ark. I actually believe with my whole heart that when Jesus healed somebody, then not only did they have a name, but they went back and told their families who all had names and they lived with and they told people about it. I believe with all my heart that Jesus came, died on a cross, and rose again. I believe that on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came down with tons of fire and started a revolution of church history like never before. I believe with all my heart that when Paul was going from island to island and revival or riot broke out, that actually happened. So at our church, I want you to know that I don't want us to look at Scripture as skeptics and cynical and say, well, I don't know if this actually happened or not. I'm telling you, listen, I want to be a person who believes in the power of prayer, who believes that worship changes. I believe that in our own lives as we walk, that we believe in transformation, that the greatest miracle of all time is a heart being restored and healed, that God can do bigger and better things, that nobody's too far that it cannot be healed, that your prodigal son or daughter can be restored and healed and brought back. You know what I'm saying? I believe with all my heart that a relationship or marriage that has fallen apart can be restored by the power of Jesus Christ. Amen? Because, listen, I believe in these things because I believe so much. I believe we become so skeptical that it's like we believe that behind the curtain, the great and powerful Oz is doing trickery. And we say, if we just go behind the curtain, God is just doing these things. Listen, I don't believe Jesus and God. I don't believe in that at all. I believe this is a real thing. It's real in our hearts. I can tell you a story about, I wasn't even going to share this. I can tell you a story when I was down at Evangel College. I had this massive ear infection in my right ear. And I wasn't even going to go to church that morning. And my friend goes, you need to come to our church service because there's this guy who's playing a violin. He does prayer healings. I'm like, that's the weirdest thing I've ever heard in my entire life. And he's like, just come. I said, okay. So I came and he preached and then he's playing violin, worship music. It was beautiful. And he says, if you need prayer, come forward. I'm like, I'm not gonna go forward. And I just so skeptical. I'm like, whatever, it's not gonna happen. And I said, and this is what I thought, other people need it more anyway. I'm trying to be all spiritual. I kept on feeling drawn by the Holy Spirit, just go. My ear was, it was closed off. It was just massive bleeding or just hurting. And I went forward, and I was in line. And right before it has nothing to do with the guy. It has everything to do with the Lord. And right before the guy was going to pray with me, he looked at me, and my right ear popped like that. It opened up, and the pain was gone. He looked at me, and he goes, your right ear just popped. And I said, yeah. I'm like, how? Did you hear that? He just says, no. He goes, that's awesome. I just sat back down. He didn't even pray with me. I'm like, that's the best prayer ministry ever. Listen, it's so easy to be skeptical and just say, well, this kind of stuff, that doesn't happen to me. This is whatever, whatever. But I'm listening. Some of you in this room have the gift of healing. I'm telling you, one of the things God wants you to step in is to start praying and praying for healing for people and start laying your hands on people. Some of you in this room have the gift of prophecy. And you need to learn how to step out into it. Some of you in this room have a prayer of intercession or a new level of prayer intercession, and God's saying you need to step out in it. It's interesting because where is our awe and wonder, and it's been beaten down by cynicism and skepticism. Number four is this. I'm going to go really fast now. Children are dependent. Children, what makes childlike faith so important is that children become dependent, and they know they're dependent. Sadie, she knows. As soon as like she wakes up from her nap, and she's like, Daddy, you know what I'm saying? I got to go up there, or Mama, you know, we got to get her out of the crib. You know what I'm saying? We got to change her diaper, you know, 25,000 times a day. You know what I'm saying? She comes up to me, and she says, I want food. I'm like, I'm telling you, as a parent, here's what begins to happen. You can predict it. As soon as I sit down or as soon as I start eating my food, everybody else wants me to stand back up and get them something every single day. It's like it's just up and down. And so I'm going to start having a wheelchair in my house, just moving around, so just sitting around. Because here's what begins in happening. Children are dependent on us, but they understand their need for dependency. What's different about us as adults is that we know we need to be dependent on the Lord, but we don't want to be. So we fight it. We're like, I can do it myself. I can figure it out. I don't need your help. I can do this. It becomes like you're trying to push away the parents because you went to college and you can do your own thing. And this is what I believe we start doing with the Lord. You start separating your dependence from the Lord because you think it's maturity. Can I just tell you the honest truth? You know what spiritual maturity is? Depending on the Lord. Let me just smash this for you. Maturity in the Lord is not a separation from the Lord. It's relying more upon the Lord. It's not saying, I can always do this myself. It's saying, Lord, I want to do this with you. Dependence is saying, Lord, I want to do this with you. I don't want to be alone when I do this. And what I'm trying to teach our kids is dependency on the Lord. And it's not like Home Alone is a weird movie because no kids would ever fight off burglars at their house all by themselves. I don't care who you are. It's not just not going to happen. But listen, when I can teach my kid to be dependent upon the Lord, something special happens. I'm going to show you a picture, something that begins to happen in my heart. You can go to the next picture, Sarah. Here's my son. Not perfect. Listen, he's little. He played football yesterday. He's a stud. I love this kid. But I'm trying to teach him that God loves him, that to rely upon the Lord. In the first year we did Watermark, that's my son on the far right. Stacy sent me this picture, and she says, I want you to know. Take a picture. She took a picture of my son just worshiping the Lord. Can I just tell you, something begins to happen in my heart as a father and as a pastor when kids in church ministry begin to worship. And then about 2 months ago, I was doing my devotions on the chair next to it. I'm like looking at my Bible, and he got a brand new Bible. So he came downstairs, opened up his Bible, and began to read it next to me. I didn't tell him. Now listen, he doesn't do it every day. I'm trying to, let me just set this. This is not a daily thing. I'm just saying, even that one time, something was pretty special. Next one is this. Children trust. Kids trust their parents. Faith is simple, trust. Dan and Brian, you can come up here. Luke 18:27 says, and then they will have faith in God, and they will find in all things are possible. They'll begin to trust. There's a picture. If you can go to that next picture. I find this is pretty amazing. Whoever receives this child in my name receives me. Whoever receives me receives him who has sent me. For he who is at least among you is one of the greatest. This picture to me is phenomenal. Because it's not just a picture of Jesus and a kid. I just want to put myself in that picture sitting next to Jesus. Like, some of you are going through some tough stuff right now, and you're going through, I just don't know how to work this through. I don't know how to step into this. Now, listen, I believe what Jesus is saying is the same thing he says to the kid. Let the little children come unto me. It's not a question about who's the greatest in this room or who is the best or who dresses the nice or who has it all figured out, which the disciples are trying to figure out. Who is the smartest? Who has it figured out? He just says, those with childlike faith who need me, who are relied upon me, who trust me, who are in stand of awe and wonder, come on to me because I want to hang out with you. I want to be next to you. I feel like this is what Jesus is saying. Some of you have got to change your mindset from Jesus is like yelling at you, mad at you, saying, I'm going to get the spanking stick. You shouldn't be doing this. You know what I'm saying? To Jesus is more like, all right, let's have a little chat. What about, I don't know, what do you want to talk about? What's on your heart? And I think what begins to happen is we think, oh, we just can't talk to God this way. We can't talk to Jesus somewhere out there. Listen, is he out there because he's out there, because that's where he wants to be, or is because we pushed him to be out there? I think that sometimes we're the ones who says, I want to do it myself. I don't need dependency. I don't need to do this. Listen, I'm a cynical person. I don't believe. And I feel like the whole time Jesus is saying, listen, I don't want to be way out here. I want to be right here.